Good morning. This morning we're going to talk about the power of words. And I think we all understand how powerful words are. I want to start and just share a little bit of wisdom for the men, either husbands or potential husbands, younger husbands probably. More so, listen up, because this really may come in handy someday. Young men, pay attention. If you listen to anything, pay attention right here. File this back, write this down. These are 10 things you should never say to your wife about her hair. And I would like to preface this by, because Stephanie's back and helping with Bible Hour, I love my wife's hair. I want to go on record saying that. Always have. It's the first thing I noticed about her. Her curly hair, she gets a lot of compliments on it, okay? So don't twist this around. But these are 10 things, top 10 things you should not say to your wife, girlfriend, regarding her hair, right? Number 10, what made you get it like that? Don't say that. Wow, you got big hair. When are you going to get your hair done, baby? You don't want to say that. Don't say, It'll grow out. It's not a problem. I liked your hair the other color. You don't want to say that. Anyone ever done that? What hairstyle were you trying to go for? Don't ask that. Is it supposed to look like that? Don't ask her that. Don't say this. That's an interesting hairstyle. You look like Nicki Minaj. Don't say that, all right? That was for our young people. Let's Google that later. It's just, number one, it's just different. That's all. It's just different. Do you know what it's like to say something, and as soon as the words come out your mouth, you stop and think, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I wished I hadn't said that. I wished I could take that back. Words are powerful. And they're powerful when we hear them. They're powerful when we speak them. Don't you remember words that someone said to you years ago? Don't you remember words that your parents said to you when you were a child? I remember being very, very young and my dad putting me to bed at night and he would say, "You're a good boy." And I remember that all these years later. I remember in school, I remember my first day of high school sitting in... going to different classes in high school. In biology class, the teacher, he was kind of a strict teacher, and his reputation preceded him. And I remember him taking roll. Davison, here. Duncan, here. Dunn. When I said here, it just didn't come out loud. And I remember saying, here. And he said, "Speak up! Here!" And I remember that experience. You remember things people say to you, certain things. They stick with you. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. By our words. And so I want us to see about four things that happen by our words. And the first one is we will be acquitted or condemned by our words. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Jesus talks about our words and how powerful they are. And in verse 33 of Matthew 12, he says, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Do you remember being in class and you had taken a test previously and you had not done well on the test? You didn't have your score back, you just knew. I bombed that test. And so your teacher comes in that day and your teacher's about to hand out the test back and you'll find out what grade you make. And the teacher announces that this test, I graded it on a curve. And when I was in school, what the teacher meant, not a true bell curve, but what the teacher meant was whatever the highest grade was, however much that was below 100, everyone gets to add that to their score. So if the highest grade was a 90, everyone gets to add 10 points to their percentage score. And when I hear the teacher saying, I'm grading on a curve, I mean, it's wonderful. That's good news. Do you remember when you heard that God looks at the heart? God doesn't judge us based on perfect performance. Can we perform perfectly as a Christian? No. God looks at our heart. Do you remember early on, probably years ago, when you first understood that? I mean, that's good news. Hey, God considers my heart. Well, that's the good news, but then there's bad news. And that's what Jesus tells us here is, you know, the good news is God looks at your heart. The bad news is what you say is a reflection of what's in the heart. Ouch. Right? I mean, when you think about that, what I say is a reflection of what's in my heart. Is anyone else, am I the only one that kind of thinks, ouch? Ooh. You know, I've said some things that weren't real good. That weren't real nice. And that did come out of my heart, didn't it? Our society, it's interesting, our society is becoming in some ways more politically correct. There are some things that you see in our world today, people are being, a lot of pressure is being put on them if they say the wrong thing or said the wrong thing. And some things, word-wise, our society is being very strict on. But in other ways, our society, profanity is everywhere, isn't it? Do you, if you work a job, you hear it. If you go to school, you hear it. It's everywhere. And I would just remind us, it's easy for us to start talking like the world, isn't it? It's easy for us to be more like the world than we might want to be. And even something like Facebook, even things that don't seem that big of a deal, LMAO is profanity, isn't it? I'm not asking everyone because everyone doesn't know what that means. That's profanity. WTF, that's profanity, isn't it? And it's humbling and it's sobering to think that I will give an account on the things that I say. By our words, we will be acquitted or condemned. By our words, we have the power to tear down. We have the power to divide. We have the power to destroy. James says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Have you ever noticed that words that you spoke in anger were usually not good words? You know, don't we need to find the pause button for our words sometimes? I remember there's a sign I saw recently that said, silence cannot be misquoted. Silence cannot. I mean, there are sometimes we just need to learn to not say anything. And I remember a few years ago, one of the best things that Stephanie and I did in our marriage is we worked on really paying attention what we say before we say it. And we both got to where, I remember for me, my experience is that I got to where I could stop and catch myself before I said something in anger, and I could evaluate what I was about to say. And in a split second, I could ask myself, self, is this going to be a good thing to say here? I mean, yes, I want to say it, but is this going to be helpful? I mean, is this going to help your wife? Is this going to help your relationship? And I got to where I hit the pause button a lot. And Stephanie hit the pause button. Sometimes she wouldn't be saying anything, and I would say, you don't have anything to say? And she'd say, I don't have anything good to say. Well, that's good. Let's keep it silent. The pause button is a really good thing because we have the power to tear down with our words. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Have you ever had someone say something bad about you? And they didn't intend for you to hear it, but later it was reported to you. maybe not accurately, who knows, right? But when your friend comes and says, you know, so-and-so was saying this, we take it as gospel truth. What did that feel like? I mean, I remember a time when I was told that people had been talking about me, and it really wasn't personal, truthfully, but it wasn't positive. It was criticism, and I didn't like it. Gossip is that way. It has the power to strike deep within us, to hurt us deeply. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Paul talks about discord. He talks about disunity, and he says, I'm afraid when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. Does that sound like a parent? I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I want to talk about slander and gossip. But think about this for a second. Paul says slander, gossip, arrogance. Can you have slander and gossip without arrogance? Chew on that sometime. Can you talk bad about someone without also in some way being arrogant? And you could flip it and say, can you talk bad about someone if you're humble? It's interesting. Let's talk about what slander means. What does the word slander mean? And the King James translates that backbitings. Slander, according to practical word studies, means backbiting, insult, verbal attack, to criticize, to judge, condemn, grumble against another person. Thayer says it's defamation, evil speaking. Slander is when you talk bad about someone. We know what that means, right? What it means to talk bad about someone. Gossip is similar, and in the King James, this is translated whisperings. And in the Greek, inherent in the Greek word is the idea of a whisper, whisperings. Gossip is behind the back talk, spicy rumor, secret slandering, according to Thayer. Gossip has the aspect of it being quiet. It's kind of secretive, or it is a secret. It usually starts out with, have you heard, or did you know? Slander is a little more aggressive. Slander is more out of frustration. But you take these together, and the reality is, Scripture doesn't give us wiggle room to talk badly about someone. You've heard it said, or you've heard this idea that, well, I'm not gossiping because what I'm saying is true. Just take a poll real quick, right? Anyone ever heard that? I'm not going to ask if you've said that. I'm not gossiping because what I'm saying is true. So listen up. I know this is okay. Well, that's not right, is it? That's not true. And if something that we're doing doesn't quite fit what we think gossip is or slander is, 1 Peter 2:1 kind of eliminates all doubt. Because Peter says, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. All kinds of it. Have you ever had your doctor tell you, you need to cut down on the sugar. You need to cut back on the caffeine. You know, let's cut back to one or two cups of coffee a day. Ever had your doctor tell you, we need to dial it back on this? Is that the way it is on gossip and slander? I mean, is God, because, come on, we would prefer that. We'd prefer God to say, Elliot, you need to kind of be careful. You need to, don't do that so much. But is that what Scripture says? And the answer is, Scripture says, Peter says, rid yourselves of this. Get it out. Don't do it. Eliminate it. And why is that? Why is it? Because when I'm tempted to slander or gossip, it seems like a really good thing. I'll speak for me. It seems like a necessary thing. but God says it's so bad. Why does God say that? Why does God not want us to slander or gossip? He says, rid yourself of all deceit, all hypocrisy. Titus 3:1 says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, to show true humility toward all men. Some people, it's a little extra difficult not to slander. Do you have a boss that is just unreasonable? It is just unpredictable, unfair, cruel? Do you have someone in your life that you feel like doesn't deserve my respect? And yet God calls us to be a people who don't tear down with our words. With our words, we have power to build up. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. With our words, not only can we tear down, but we can also build up. Colossians 3:17 says, you've heard this one before. This is very familiar. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I've heard that many, many times, and what I always came away thinking was, you know, do everything in the name of God, actions. And I didn't, you know, the word part of it didn't stand out to me. But this could be said, whatever you say it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that the message? Whatever you say it not literally in God's name, but say it with God in mind. Now that changes things. Proverbs 12:25 says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Have you ever been down and a friend said something kind, complimentary, something encouraging? Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Have you ever been angry and you talk to someone and your friend has a calm spirit? Maybe a parent, maybe someone you respect, maybe your spouse, but whoever you went to, you're angry, but their calm spirit helped calm you down. Our words are powerful. They have the power to heal. 2 weeks ago in my small group, if you're in a small group, you may have experienced this, or somewhere else, I'm sure you have. 2 weeks ago in our small group, we're sitting in the fellowship room here, and we do highs and lows, as most small groups do, and I share mine, and we're talking, and just a struggle in my life, and Venus Carter makes a comment, and I haven't even said anything to her since then, but Venus makes a comment, and there was something she said that helped me, and I noticed it, I knew it at the moment. When you're struggling, or when you're stressing, And people have the power with their words, don't they? To say just something that you needed. Our words have the power to inspire. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Only what is helpful for building others up. And our words have that power. Someone has put it this way. Before you speak, let your words pass through three gates. At the first gate, ask yourself, is it true? A lot of times we say things, and if we stop and analyze what happened in a situation, have you ever talked about how acted like they were better than me? And pretty soon, someone thinks they're better than me. And there's no factual information to back that up, except that's my own kind of paranoia. That's how I took the way they were acting. But let it pass through the first gate. Is it true? At the second gate, ask, is it necessary? Now, for me, I can get a lot of stuff past those first two gates. Let's be honest. Is it true? You betcha. Is it necessary? I feel like it is. Yes. Check, check. You know, is it kind? No. No. And Scripture, it's that old phrase that we heard from our mother or grandmother, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. I mean, that's as biblical as anything you've ever heard. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Because God didn't act, there's no list in Scripture that says don't say this word, this word, this word, this word. There's no list that says don't say this about somebody, don't say this. But we have principles that remove all doubt from our questions. Someone also said this, we have the power with our words to heal and to help and to encourage. And someone said, I want to inspire people. I want someone to look back at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Because of you, I didn't give up. Don't think that when you approach someone and you talk with them and you ask them, hey, how's your mom doing? Or you ask them, hey, what did that test show? Or you ask them, how's your son doing? Or how is the job search going? Don't think that when you talk to someone and you share with them your love for them, don't think it doesn't matter. Don't think it doesn't inspire. And realize that there will be times in your life when someone is ready to let go and something you said that seems so small in their life becomes so big. With our words, one last thing, with our words, we have the power to save. Now, of course, God saves, we understand that. But He's left the message of the gospel with us. And the gospel extends to other people. Other people can be saved through one means, and that is our words. Our words. Not the preacher's words, all of our words, right? Because Paul said, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you read this, Paul is saying, we are ambassadors. God has chosen to reach the world through us. Now, to be honest, I wouldn't have made that plan. I wouldn't have chosen that plan. Now, I know that means I'm not as smart as God. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying, in my dumb human logic, I look at us and I say, well, we're not good enough for that. We're not good enough for that play. You're going to have to get another group of people. You're going to have to do it another way, God. Please don't leave it to us. But God did. And you're a Christian, aren't you? Because somebody spoke a word. I'm a Christian because someone spoke a word and says, why don't you come and worship with me? How many opportunities do we have to reach out to people and plant a seed and say, you know what, I wish you would just come with me one time and visit my church and worship with us. Plant a seed some way, somehow, through our words. We have the power. Is that not humbling to think I have the power to save another person? God saves them, but I have the power through my words to help lead them to salvation. Our church's greatest strength is our love. Isn't it? This church family is growing because of the love that is here. God didn't design His church to grow because of the preachers, or the worship leaders, or the shepherds, or the deacons. God did not design His church to grow because of that. Jesus said, they will know by your love. And this church family is a very loving group. But don't you know what Satan is trying to do? And so our words have both the power to keep that love going, and at the same time, our words have the power, and Satan is tempting us, get irritated, get upset, say this, you need to tell that, you need to spread this. And Satan is doing his job, and God is doing His job. And this morning, I just wanted to remind us, there's so much power that comes out of our heart through what we say. This morning, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And it may be that there's something on your heart that you brought with you Maybe that you want prayers regarding the things that you say in your life. And it could be that someone's here this morning. I have no doubt someone's here and you've never had your sins washed away. We would love to stop and help you do that, help another soul become a Christian today. If there's a need you have, come while we stand and sing.